You're listening to Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, hello, hello. From the ATL, Eddie Pascal and producer Trav here in Atlanta, more specifically Radio Row in Atlanta, leading up to the Super Bowl. So Eddie, you may ask, why are you and the fellas in Atlanta? The Raiders aren't playing in the Super Bowl. You know, there's no reason for you to be there. I would say wrong. That is incorrect. One, this week is the mecca of all things NFL. Everything. The teams are here. NFL Network's here. ESPN, CBS, Sirius, Fox. You name a network, and they are here. And more specifically, they're probably within about, Trav, what would you estimate? We're probably within 30 or to 40 yards of literally everything in this room.
Yeah, I mean, we have a great spot here. Everything. Fox Sports, NFL Network.
A spot of honor, truly.
And, I mean, with this backdrop,
how could
you not miss us?
For our friends at home who haven't gone on Raiders.com and checked out some of the video stuff we've done today, the backdrop we brought with us to Atlanta is the backdrop that we bring everywhere. It's a great backdrop. So a big shout-out to our friend Will Kiss in the PR department for letting us, you know, pretty much hijack their backdrop for much of the offseason. But it's a beautiful backdrop. Some have said it's an obnoxious backdrop. I won't say that. I said it lets people know that we're here, that we are in the house, in the building. And so we are located on Radio Row in between the mighty Buffalo Bills on our left, the mighty Jaguars of Jacksonville on our right. And we're here in the middle just taking it all in. And it has been a lot of fun. It's been a busy first day. But I digress. Why are we here? We're here for this, yes, absolutely. But then we're also here because on Saturday, Coach Tom Flores will find out if he's been inducted into the Hall of Fame. For those of you who, I don't know, been living under a rock, or I don't know what you've been doing since the season ended. But for those of you who don't know, Coach Flores is one of the 15 finalists for this year's class of the Hall of Fame. And I know that I'm biased. I get that. I totally do. But he should be in there. He should get the call on Saturday. He needs to get the call. I think there's a bit, I don't say a bit, I think it's quite the injustice if he doesn't get that call on Saturday. But we're going to be spending the day with him on Saturday. Hopefully, that day will conclude with some very, very, very good news. But that's a couple days away. In between now and then, we will be here. We'll be doing the podcast every day, as I told you guys last week. So today's Tuesday. We'll go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week. Coach Flores content Saturday, and then we're flying back home to get back to California so I can watch the game on my couch with my pals, hanging out and enjoying. So that's kind of where we are for the next couple days, and I hope you guys will come party with us and hang out the next couple days while we're here in Atlanta. If you do see us, if you see our obnoxious backdrop, and it's hard to miss, it's really, really hard to miss, if you see it, come say what's up to us. We've had a couple people swing by, say they enjoy the backdrop, they've noticed it, and just, you know, come say what's up. We like saying hi to you guys. It's a lot of fun for us. But now to the task at hand. What have we done today? We've done a lot today. Today's been a busy day. I told you guys last week, we thought that it wasn't going to be that busy in Mobile, and we were sorely mistaken. We kind of thought the same this week, today, and we have been sorely mistaken. We've been everywhere. We've been up and down and all around. We've dealt with the elements of Atlanta. I thought it was hot Atlanta. It certainly hasn't been hot. It's been real cold and rainy and dreary. But we've made the best of it. And here we are, stronger and better than we were 12 hours ago, Travis. We are strong, and we've just been crushing things. So let's just get into it, because we don't have a lot of time to mess around. Simply do not. We started off this morning, so for you guys of you on the West Coast, seems like about 10 hours ago, really. We chatted with an old pal of ours, a guy we see in the facility all the time, former Raider, four-time Super Bowl champion, Bill Romanowski. We wanted to touch on a lot of things with Romo, and he provided a really unique kind of a way of looking at things that I think is really interesting. So I said, Romo, when we sat him down, I said, Romo, does being here on Radio Row, the beginning of Super Bowl week with all the fanfare, does it make you miss playing a little bit?
One thing I remember about Super Bowls, This is the part of being down at the Super Bowl that I used to hate.
Because, I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, because all I wanted to do was get ready to play in the Super Bowl. I wanted to play football. I didn't want to deal with media. This is something you had to deal with. It's not something that you liked. I know it's not something that I liked. All I wanted to do was do what I could do to help my team win a world championship, to be able to put one of these on my finger. That's all that mattered to me.
Do you think that there's anything – I mean, we hear this week so much about whichever team deals with kind of the circus surrounding the game has a better chance come Sunday. Do you put any stock into that argument at all?
Absolutely. Or? I think what it is more than anything is teams that deal with distraction the best and can look right through it and still go out and execute and do what they have to do to play the best game of their lives. And ultimately, that's what you have to do. I remember when I was a rookie, and we had just beaten the Chicago – I played for the 49ers. We had just beaten the Chicago Bears in the NFC Championship game. And Bill Walsh said this to us, and it's a pretty profound statement. He said, "Men, you are getting ready to play an away game down in Miami against the Cincinnati Bengals. If you focus on Super Bowl, if you'll start thinking of something that's bigger and grander than actually doing what you need to do, and that's play the best game of your life. You have a football game, an away football game to play against the Cincinnati Bengals, and keep your focus there, because if you do that, you'll go down there and you'll beat the Cincinnati Bengals." And that's what we did.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you. Obviously, this has turned into such a circus. But whichever team I think does a better job of staying even keel probably has a better job or a better chance come Sunday. But, Bill, we wanted to talk to you for numerous reasons. But one being, as a former Raider, you kind of get how unique of a situation the Silver and Black is.
Absolutely.
It's different than any other team.
It is.
Very different. And obviously the season this year, the first year with head coach John Gruden back in the mix, doesn't necessarily go exactly to plan, but over that final month, and I know that a final month, a season does not make, but over that final month, a much better brand of football, and as a guy who spent as much time in the NFL as you have, is there any way that you can kind of feed off the momentum of a final month, or is each season very much isolated in its own kind of lane?
No, I think you can absolutely feed in. And what it is more than anything, you get an idea of how good a football coach John Gruden is, because he took a group of average football players and at times was able to make them play better than what they were, you know, you look at on paper. And when you're able to do that and you get your group of coaches, you know, that are coaching, you know, coaching them up, getting them in a place where they can win and beat teams that are better than them talent-wise, that says a lot to what John Gruden, you know, is doing there in Oakland. I looked at the talent across the board, and you're like, I just look on defense. I didn't see one play real dominant playmaker. And I always, I say this, and I don't mean any disrespect, but I don't remember ever seeing a mule win a Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
Okay. At the end of the day, to win in the NFL, you have to have great football players. Yeah, you have to have all the other guys that buy in, but your great players make average players good, good players greater. And, you know, you have to have guys that go out and that can intercept footballs, that can sack quarterbacks, that can knock the daylights out of people, that can, you know, make people miss at the running back position, run routes and know that there's no one out there that can cover them. You know, you have to have guys that can change the game. The Raiders did not have any of those type, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a great point where, you know, Coach Gruden said it, you know, Mike Mayock, the new general manager, said they've been very transparent. Like, look, specifically on the defensive side of the ball, the talent from 1 to 53, or however you want to phrase it, just wasn't there. But to have, especially at the end of that season, to have Paul Gunther scheming up defenses in such a way that made things difficult for the opposing offense, that's got to make you, as a Raider fan, feel a little optimistic about this operation going forward, though, I'd imagine.
Paul Gunther, the way I see it, is probably one of the best defensive coordinators on planet Earth, next to maybe Bill Belichick.
That's high praise.
Absolutely. Because what he did with the talent level that he had, they could not rush the passer. When you can't rush the passer, you can't cover receivers. When you can't cover receivers, you can't rush the passer. He didn't have anything. And he was able to, I think, accomplish a lot. And what I would see in his scheme, I would see guys were always in the right position. They were never, you know, giving up huge plays. And I could always say, wow, if they had a pass rusher or two, I mean, they'd be dominating right now. And that's if they had two pass rushers, you know. So, bottom line, Paul Gunther is damn good at what he does. And when he gets talent, you better watch out, because the Raiders are going to be a force.
So, obviously, here in this, at the Super Bowl in Atlanta, the game is the big news of the week, obviously. But for us, as the Raider family, Saturday, a big day for the Silver and Black. We'll find out if Coach Tom Flores finally gets into the Hall of Fame. As a former Raider yourself, as a man who is still so ingrained with the organization and what the organization stands for, what would it mean to have Coach Flores put on that gold jacket or get the call to find out he's going to get that jacket?
You know, it would be incredible. It's well-deserved. The guy has 2 Super Bowls. Are you kidding me? As a coach, the guy deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, and hopefully it happens. You know, I love Tom Flores. You know, I respect him as a coach. I respect him as a person, and I wish him luck, and I just can't say enough great things about, you know, him and, you know, what he deserves, and that's to be able to put on a yellow jacket.
So, Bill, we appreciate your time immensely, but let me ask you this before you get out of here. What's your favorite part of this week? Obviously, you're going around, you know, talking to everyone. What's your favorite part of this week, of Super Bowl week?
You know what? I think for me, it's seeing guys I played with. You know, like just having a conversation with Steve Atwater, a guy I played with at the Denver Broncos that I won Super Bowls with. I mean, that really, at the end of the day, is what it's all about. And I'm sure I saw Rich Gannon the other day, you know, my teammate when I played at the Oakland Raiders. I mean, Rich Gannon is as good as they get. A guy as good as they get. Steve Atwater, as good a guy as you can be on planet Earth. And to me, ultimately, it's about relationships and seeing guys that you had great memories with, you won a lot of football games with, and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears.
Well, Bill, we appreciate your time. Very well said. And hopefully we'll catch up with you back in California.
I look forward to it.
Many blessings to Romo. Countless blessings to our friend Romo. And I couldn't agree more with him that Coach Flores has done more than enough to earn a spot in the Hall of Fame and put on the gold jacket in a couple months. And so, yeah, fingers crossed that everything works out and we are happy guys Saturday evening. But we move on from Romo. And actually, we bring in an old friend, a guy that we had on the podcast several months ago, actually, leading up to our game in London, the first game the Silver and Black played in London against the Seattle Seahawks. Unfortunately, not a great day for fans of the Silver and Black. But as bad as that day was, our first interview with Will Gavin was the complete opposite of that. We had a great time. He gave us pub recommendations, told us what to do during our admittedly very short jaunt across the pond. And as the NFL gods would have it, Will has been to Oakland, and we didn't see him in Oakland. We have been to London. We didn't see Will in London. But Will, our second guest on Upon Further Review this afternoon, our paths have crossed in Atlanta, Georgia.
Just brings it together. That
is the synergy.
The joy of Super Bowl week, the joy of Radio Row. And it's been, I tell you, it's dead funny this week because we are the only, other than like ESPN Deportes, we're the only non-American station who are here on Radio Row. And so great. The great thing is everyone remembers you. If you're the British guys, everyone knows who you are. So it's perfect for us. We get everyone loves us and knows us. So
the accents probably help a lot, right? The accents got to play here big time, don't they?
Oh, you would not believe it. It is absolutely fantastic. We honestly, like, sometimes I even feel a little bit bad about it because people assume that you're a lovely, kind, warm human being because you've got an English accent. And I could easily be a terrible person. Luckily, I think I'm not, but, you know, there are a lot of people in our group who might be considered so. So
is there like a British equivalent? I mean, this is madness, right? This is, I think, our third or fourth year coming. Mm-hmm. Is there like a British equivalent to this in terms of like a sporting event that brings so many people together in one place for a concentrated amount of time?
Nothing like this where you're here for the whole week. You know, when you get things like the FA Cup final, the Champions League final in football, I guess the World Cup is the same sort of thing because you do end up in your media hotels, but those are spread across a whole country. And in the case of the next European Championships, a whole continent. So it is and it isn't. It's nothing on this scale, nothing of this size. And people, we've got one guy with us, it's his first year here. We've been doing it for the last five or six. And his mind is just blown by the sheer scale of everything that's going on. So, yeah, nothing to compare, really.
Well, I mean, in his defense, I mean, we walked in, and like I said, we've done this a couple of times. Every year we come in, we're like, man, this is a madhouse. This is like nothing that I think collectively we've ever experienced either. So,
and the thing is, right now it's pretty calm.
Yeah, the calm before the storm.
Exactly.
Not so too many people. But
it's going to get crazy over the next few days. Absolutely crazy.
So we talked to you when we were about to go to London to take on the Seahawks, and obviously a pretty crummy 72 hours for us out there.
Yeah, well, John Gruden made that pretty clear that he thought it was a crummy 72 hours. He was not happy about the trip to London, was he? And yet, you're coming back.
We're coming back, baby. Let's keep the good times rolling. But in terms of, I mean, we were talking earlier, I think Wembley, I mean, when we look back at the experience, obviously we wish that the result had been a lot different. But Wembley was incredible. I think the people were incredible to us, very welcoming. It was fun. You told us to go out, hit the pub, which we did one of the nights there. And it was so funny. We were talking to this guy in the pub, nice guy, and he comes up to us and he goes, oh, are you guys here for the game, whatever. He's a Steelers fan who had this incredible story where he was from England, right? And then he came out to the United States, adopted the Steelers, moved back. He's been all around, spent some time in California. But it was so interesting to see just like that microcosm of this one guy who's completely accepted the NFL into his life.
Right.
Like that's it. His Sundays now are like us, where they revolve around what time his team's playing.
Well, yeah, they revolve around that, but they revolve around that at 6 p.m., yeah. 9 p.m., and 1 a.m. instead of, you know, 10 in the morning for you guys and 1 o'clock. And that always astounded me when I first time I came out and watched some games on the West Coast. It was a really bizarre Sunday because I'm sure you guys remember this as Raiders guys, but you're playing the Chargers on Sunday night, and it was when the A's were in the playoffs.
It was like the latest kickoff in NFL history.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it was that night where you had the weird, like, 8 p.m. West Coast kickoff, and the Niners were playing the Texans on Sunday Night Football. So we went and watched we had a Bears fan with us. We went and watched the 10 a.m. game, the Chicago Bears, in a bar somewhere. We went to the tailgate for the 49ers, saw the first three quarters of the 49ers game. They were blowing the Texans out. So we jump on the bar, we head over the bay, and then we come and watch the second, third, and fourth quarter of that Raiders game. So that idea of like a whole day of football that starts at 10 a.m. and goes to like 11 p.m. midnight as it did that night, that's the best. Like, I think the people who are a sniffy about the early kickoffs in London, I get it's difficult when you're a West Coast team, particularly if they're traveling out because it's like 6 a.m. That might be a little bit early to be getting on the beers and having a good time, but for the East Coast guys, 9:30 a.m. kickoff, you have that first game, wake up with breakfast, little mimosa action, enjoying yourself, get down the tailgate early, turn it into a 12-hour day, a 15-hour day. Why not? More football, the better for me.
Now, listen, I went to the University of Oregon, so a West Coast team, right?
Okay, yeah.
And so when we started days, we'd have, you know, you wake up, like you said, have a little beer with breakfast, beer and eggs, get you going. But you have games on starting at like 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great. It was perfect for us. You have a bunch of degenerate 21-year-olds at college. I mean, it was perfect. So I'm with you 100%. Make a day out of it. And the best part of those days is you go to bed early, too. You know what I mean? You're not out till 2 in the morning. You're asleep by 8 or 9 o'clock.
It's
perfect.
You are if you're in the UK. Yep. You're dedicated. You're up listening to us on TalkSport doing Sunday night football, games finishing at 4:30 a.m., and then people going to bed and getting up at like 7:30 for work. Like, NFL fans in the UK are mad. Absolutely mad.
Well, God bless them. But like you said, we're going back to London, taking on the Chicago Bears this time. And I thought it was interesting what you said a couple minutes ago when we were talking before, that in terms of fans, the Raiders and the Bears both have very big fan bases.
Huge.
Out in London. What do you expect that game day, that week leading up to be like?
I mean, when we spoke before, I was explaining it to you, like, there is that pickup from when the team were popular, when they were big in the 70s and 80s, and that's when the NFL first took root in the UK. And most people's memories, if they're above a certain age, you know, the NFL fans in the UK were 45, 50 and older, their first memories of watching the NFL are on Channel 4, which is like a terrestrial, like free-to-air broadcaster. It's like you'd get on cable channels, showing the 85 Bears team, then that 86 Bears defense who nearly did it again, but not quite. And so they're hugely popular because of that. I tell you, William Refrigerator Perry is still one of the most recognizable names in all of the UK. Like, people will know nothing about the NFL, and if you talk about the fridge, they know who you're talking about. It's absolutely mad. So the Bears have a huge following. The Raiders have a huge following. I think you're going to see a lot of fans travel over as well, because you've both got great traveling fan bases with the Black Hole, and I'm sure there'll be guys coming out of Chicago as well. I think it's going to be a great build-up to the game, and I think the game day itself is going to be, it's going to be wild. I think that's... What's going to be great is I think it'll be a real 50-50 atmosphere. And I think actually, for as much as we love the NFL and we love the... I think the British fans have really got how to behave and how to interact. They know to be quiet when their team's on offense, to be loud on third down. They've picked all that stuff up. But I think because you're going to get a real split in the atmosphere, it's going to be like a soccer atmosphere. It's going to be like just constantly loud, constant noise, hyped up all the way through. As long as we get a good game, obviously. If we get a blowout, that might not happen, but fingers crossed, 3 first round picks. Hopefully you guys will be a better team this year.
We were joking earlier where it's the league is put out. So we know the two teams. We know Raiders, Bears. Outside of that, we don't know much of anything. We don't know where it is. We don't know what the date. And so we were keeping our fingers crossed. So we went to Wembley last year, and Wembley was awesome. Like, definitely like a bucket list kind of stadium to knock off for all of us. But I think there'd be something really cool at playing at a club stadium. Yeah. I think it would just be so much, just add such a different element to everything.
The thing is, it's cool playing at the club stadium, but Tottenham Stadium, you're not talking about any club stadium. Yeah. Like, from a soccer perspective, a football perspective, as we'd call it, this is the equivalent of Jera World. This is the equivalent of this Mercedes-Benz Dome. This is the very top of the line, the very top end. What you do have that you don't get elsewhere that I think you're going to absolutely love is the stand behind one of the end zones is just all one rake. So it's not 3 tiers. It just goes all the way up from bottom to top. And it's copied on the way that the Bundesliga teams do out in Germany.
Yeah.
And there's something about, I don't know why it is, but when you take the tier situation out and when you put one stand there, the fans never sit down. They never go quiet. So that will be, honestly, you'll see the loudest, most vociferous fans packing themselves in there, and it's going to be a whale of a time. I can't wait.
I got a random question for you. When you're at home doing whatever you do, do people get confused when you say you cover football? Is there like, do you have to say I cover American football? How does that help?
I would say American football. If I'm talking to a guest, I'll just refer to it as football because people know, you know, we've got whoever, like, quite regulars on the show, people like the guys from around the NFL and stuff like that kind of come on regularly with us on the phone. And they know, like, if we're talking to them and we say football, we mean American football. Yeah. But there is a difficult, like, last night we are talking to guests and we're flipping and flopping between the two. And I'm talking about what really amazed me about Atlanta is just how much they've embraced Atlanta United and the soccer.
That's funny you say that. I was thinking the same thing. So I'm a big MLS guy. I'll kind of show my hand a little bit. I'm a big Sounders fan, but yeah, I mean, seeing what Atlanta United has done has been awesome. It's been incredible. And actually, we were trying to get in. We were trying to weasel our way into their facility for a couple of minutes to kind of poke around, but they were closed for all the preseason stuff. But it's been awesome to kind of watch from afar from the West Coast as someone who perennially kind of has their eye on MLS. I mean, this city has completely embraced them. It's been really cool to see.
Amazing. Yeah, and I think the problem was I'm talking to football journalists who are based in America, but as in English football journalists, and talking about the soccer team here in America. And I said on air was, and this is considering this is like the early breakfast show in the UK, so it's like 5 a.m. And I said something like, what's amazing is how much they've embraced their football team here. Or as they'd say here, soccer. I made a joke about it, and 3 people tweet me going, don't say soccer, you're from England. You say football when you're from England. Like, they're so territorial about it and so weird about it. And the fact is they, you get the English fans who don't get football, who are like, well, why are you calling it football? They don't even use their feet. They use their hands. And you go, well, actually, it's because it's all based around the same original game. And that game was brought out to America and they adapted it to their own rules but kept the name football. And actually, it's the same sport that bred rugby and rugby league. And actually, the full name for rugby is Rugby Football Union. But people don't call it that. So the football is still in the name, as it is with rugby league as well. They were all born out of the same sport. It just so happened that our version of football, they decided to put the ball on the ground, make it round and start kicking it around. But it was still the same sport, and you guys brought it out and you added the 10 yards and throwing and all that. But it's all from the same thing. It's all the same background. If you trace it back far enough, it's basically the same sport. So I don't get why people can't just love and embrace it.
The forward pass is a beautiful thing. I say it all the time. It's a beautiful thing. Well, hey, I'll let you put your analyst hat on for a second. We're here in Atlanta. We're all talking about the game. Who do you like? What do you think is?
Oh,
I know it's a big one. I know. I don't want to put you on the spot.
I think what I'm going to try and do is on 50% of everything I do this week, I'm going to say the Patriots, and on the other half, I'm going to say the
Rams.
You got
to hedge your bets.
I'm at least 50% right. So I'm going to tell you. I'm going to say what I said yesterday. I'm going to say the Patriots because if I say the Rams and the Patriots win, everyone's going to go, well, why would you back the Rams?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. The Patriots have been there 8 times already. They've got the experience. They're the obvious team to pick. Whereas if the Patriots lose and I've picked the Patriots, I don't look stupid
necessarily.
You don't
look that bad. Exactly.
Yeah, people get it. People are like, yeah, I understand why you'd pick them. So I'm picking the Patriots basically so that I don't look stupid at the end of the week, whoever wins.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we do. So we do a little pick segment on the show each week once the playoffs started. And we were talking last week and you go, man, you can't pick against them, right? I mean, how dumb are we? I'm not the smartest guy, and Travis, you know, we're not football guys, quote unquote. But how many? You can't pick against the Patriots, really.
I just picked against them 2 weeks running and saw them absolutely destroy the Chargers. And let's be honest, they should have destroyed the Chiefs. That game was far more one-sided than the final scoreline suggested. I am not picking against them again. I'm going for the Patriots.
I'd agree with you. So, Will Gavin, we appreciate your time. I know it's a crazy week for you, just like it is for us, but we appreciate a couple minutes. And hopefully when we're in London in a couple months, whenever that may be, between September and January, we'll catch up, grab a beer, or go to the pub, and we'll have a good old time.
We'll make it happen, man.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you. And a big thank you to Will for stopping by and giving us a couple minutes. Actually, we'll lift the veil behind the podcast for a couple minutes. My guy Will Gavin was so in demand today that he had two gentlemen waiting for him, circling us like buzzards, waiting to wrap up the interview so they could go, you know, take him and do whatever he needed to do. So I don't want to say Will is like a really big deal in London, but I also don't want to say he's not a really big deal in London. He was really good to give us a couple minutes, and it was great to finally meet him in person after we've talked on the phone a handful of times. And hopefully when we go out to London this year, wherever the game is, we catch up, have him on again. Trav, he might be, I think, with two appearances and a third on the way, I think Will might be our most senior guest at this point, right?
Yeah, maybe do a remote pod with him in London.
I would love nothing more. We were talking earlier today, actually, Travis Marcus, who's running around doing a million things, and myself, that our goal for next year, we're putting this out in the universe, this is our goal for next year when we return to the Super Bowl, hopefully with the silver and black playing in the Super Bowl in Miami. But regardless, when we come back here, our goal next year is to do one remote show. So to pick a place, whether it's a bar, a restaurant, a beach, perhaps. Travis, who knows?
I could do that.
You could do a beach. But to just pick a place, go to that place, and do a live remote show from there, get the fans involved, have a lot of fun. So that's our goal for next year. But that's a little bit down the road. Today, we focus on today. And I am going to introduce a segment for this week called Hashtag Trav's Takeaway. And I frankly, the only reason I do this is because I think Trav doesn't get enough airtime. We need Trav to on the pod more. He sits there at his little at his table. He's wheeling and dealing with the mixer, doing a million things at once. But we never hear from the man. So Travis, we've been here a day. It's been a busy day. Your big takeaway from day one.
My big takeaway would be the signage in Atlanta is not very
It's a little confusing.
Informative.
Very confusing, too.
From the airport to the convention center, just, I don't know where I'm going or, you know.
Where you're
going
to end up.
Yeah, where I'm going to end up.
I would agree with you. My big takeaway, I would agree with you 100% on that. The signage here has been suboptimal. But my big takeaway is the restrooms here at this convention center are beautiful. Very well kept. The good people of Atlanta have done a marvelous job in upkeeping them. But they are very confusing. There's like 9 chambers.
Separate rooms.
Dude,
yes.
It's incredible. Yeah. Like I walked in and I thought I was in a labyrinth. I was like, I'm just trying to wash my hands. I had no idea where I was going. I turn, there's 9 mirrors. You know, I feel like you're in one of those like fun houses at the fair. That's what I felt like. So that's my big takeaway. Tune in tomorrow for more hashtag Trav's Takeaways. But we're out of here. We got a lot to do. Today has been a long day, a tiring day. But we're back at it tomorrow morning, baby. We got a great slate of guests lined up. I won't tell you who, because we like the element of surprise around here. I'll just tell you this, that you'll be pretty pleased. I thought we started off today very strong, strong to very strong, and we are continuing tomorrow strong to very strong.
It's looking very good this whole entire week.
Oh, yeah. As someone said, Travis, our lineup is filling up pretty quick. Our calendar, there's not a lot of empty slots on there anymore.
It's getting
filled up.
So
if you want to come in, if you want to be part of this project, if you want to be part of the synergy that we're building right here, you're running out of chances.
You're going to have to contact Marcus.
You're going to have to contact him directly. A direct contact, which is very hard to do. It's a very exclusive number to have. So if you don't have the number, I'm going to tell you this. There's no chance you're getting it. 0% chance. But we're out of here. We're having a good time. We'll be back tomorrow. Been a blast. Come hang out with us again tomorrow. So for Eddie Pascal, producer Trav, engineer Jim, Marcus, who, like I said, is probably walked about 4 miles today just putting in those steps. We appreciate him, and to our two guests as well. We thank them deeply, humbly, and sincerely. And we will catch you guys tomorrow on our second episode of Upon Further Review, live from Atlanta, GA, baby. We'll catch you guys tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network.